What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Football Pod.
Who are you blaming, yourself or the manager?
Name names, party. This is the time. This is the chance.
He's a black book and say,
The Football Pod.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Horse racing on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
It is day three of the Cheltenham Festival. Plenty to chat about, plenty to get into today, but we might start with yesterday's action because it was a historic day on the course for the Irish, for Willie Mullins, for Rachel Blackmore. Delighted to say that this morning we've got John Duggan live from the course, and Tom Malone is beaming into us as well this morning. Tom, good to see you. How are you keeping?
Hey, how you doing, Owen? You well?
Yeah,
it's been a great Cheltenham so far.
Enjoying it very much. So what were your thoughts on yesterday? Are you allowing yourself to get carried away on this wave of emotion for the Irish? Because I will say, Johnny Ward in your window there yesterday, and he was very down on the predictability of this whole thing.
Yeah, the predictability is not great. But I mean, as William Mullins or as Ruby Walsh said on ITV, you know, you got to run your horses, you got to buy a ticket. And those horses that are running, they're putting up good performances. Yeah, there's an issue with the competitiveness sometimes, but you know, if you don't run them, they can't win. And we saw that with Captain Guinness yesterday. You know, this horse should not beat El Fabiolo. And, you know, a lot of trainers would have taken the view they can't beat El Fabiolo, but El Fabiolo hit the deck. And look, Captain Guinness picked up the pieces when Edwardstone hit the deck as well. So, you know, it's about running and jumping, and you jump and then see what happens. And look, Captain Guinness is a brilliant moment. Jasmine DeVoe, obviously brilliant as well. I mean, it's funny that because El Fabiolo lost, that set it up for Patrick Mullins to go and ride the 100th winner for Willie Mullins, which is another lovely occasion. And, you know, from tourist attraction all the way to Jasmine DeVoe over the course of, 29 years. It's just phenomenal from Willie Mullins.
I don't think anybody who had El Fabiolo backed would be complaining too much about the predictability of the 2024 festival somehow. John Duggan, a very good morning to you. What are things looking like at the course at the moment?
Good morning, Owen and Tom, and good to speak to you both. And it is dry, which is a relief because it was so wet on Sunday and Tuesday with all those millimetres of rain. The going is soft at the moment. There is rain, expected showers this afternoon, but Cheltenham does have its own microclimate. They weren't expecting the extent of rain they had on Tuesday, so hopefully the rain might stay away. They're on a new course today. They're on the inside course for the next 2 days, so fresh ground, soft ground, and looking forward to it. There's a couple of pieces of news today. Dysart Enos, Fergal O'Brien's mare, is out of the Mare's Novice. It pretty much sets it up to be a match between Brighter Days Ahead and Jay DeGrugi. Be very surprised if one of those horses doesn't win that. And Sergino is out of the Triumph Hurdle tomorrow. This was Nicky Henderson's last big hope, Sergino, that he kept in the race. But with all of the other horses being pulled out this week, Jean Bon Shishkin, Sergino is the latest one, and capping a disastrous week for Nicky Henderson. You got to feel sorry for him.
Just one final word to you, John, on yesterday, and I guess the festival as a whole so far. The number of 46,771 was jotted down as yesterday's attendance. Are you feeling a dip compared to other years with regards to the excitement, with regards to the buzz at the festival?
I'm not feeling a dip in terms of excitement, but you're just feeling a bit dip in terms of attendance. I think I almost kind of feel about this year, Owen, is Gold Cup Day will be big. Gold Cup Day tomorrow, people coming in from London, you'll probably have a full house. All the tickets have been sold, so that's 68,500. So going into the weekend, especially for Irish people with St. Patrick's weekend as well, and Monday and the rugby and everything. So I think tomorrow will be fine. Tomorrow will be busy. Tomorrow will be hectic. Mm-hmm. But just the first 3 days have been down. They expected that. They were 14% down last year on the year before. I think they could be further down this year. And it is a wake-up call for various reasons, for the cost of living, for ticket prices, for affordability around the course in terms of a pint of Guinness being £7.50. So maybe they just need to have a rethink about the value for money of these festivals. They were talking about going to 5 days. I think the legacy of this year is that the five-day thing can't happen.
And if it happens, yeah, absolutely, John, couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
So the 5 days, it's not going to go back to 3 days because it's just too much of a cash cow for the Jockey Club over here.
Well, Tom, yeah, go ahead there before we get into the tips.
Couldn't agree more with John on that. This festival, I know I speak of the excitement, but it's killed all that talk of 5 day, and rightly so. In my opinion, you should probably trim another 4 races off it as well to keep it competitive, and just go with six races each day, and go from there. And then we might have a workable solution, because bloating the program has clearly not worked. There's very little competition. And like I said, we only have a handful of British winners that, you know, on tomorrow and on the crowds, though, I mean, Cheltenham probably are going to reap the benefits of what marketing they've done, because they really have focused on London. And as John mentioned, that's where they're going to get their crowd tomorrow. You know, they have lots of celebs there. They've done massive advertising all around the London Underground. There's, you know, big ads in Piccadilly Square. Rachel Blackmore did a publicity shot on Bond Street at Boodles, you know. So they've gone heavy on London, and maybe in doing that, they've taken their eye off marketing elsewhere.
Okay, very interesting. So tomorrow, big day, but the rest of the festival potentially needs a little bit of a look at. 1:30 is the first race, as ever, today. Well, not including yesterday, obviously. We've got the Turners, Novices Chase. John, what are you looking at for this race?
I fancy one of this. Let's Be Clear About It is the name of the horse, and let's be clear about my fancy. So the horse was a fascinating runner for me in that he was tanking along in the Albert Bartlett race over 3 miles last year over hurdles and faded to fourth. But this race is over half a mile shorter. He was the favourite for the Drinmore Novice Chase earlier this season, and he didn't win it. He was behind I Am Maximus, but found a 50 and him were closely matched, and found a 50 around very well here the other day. I think the ground will suit him. I think this is his trip. I think he's disappointed his connections to a degree earlier this season. He was 30-1 this morning. He's now into 16-1 in places. He's one of my charity bet each way bets. And I think Avon Cromwell had Path Drew run well yesterday. He's done very well in the UK this season. And I think on the graded form of the hurdles, and I think on the form that he showed in chases earlier this season, I think he's overpriced. Look, it's all about Fasal Vega. Will Fasal Vega improve her step up and trip? But to me, he's disappointed me since his bumper days. Grey Dawning and Ginny's Destiny are closely matched from the last time. Irocco's only run once over fences. There's a lot of money for Zana here, a former smart hurdler. Has been back this morning. But I think at a price to get into the first three, and maybe even better, Let's Be Clear About It is my pick.
Very good. Tom Malone, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I can see exactly where John's coming from there. And, you know, Let's Be Clear About It went off, I think, 5-4 in that Trinmore chase. And I know he disappointed that day as well. Good to see Gavin's horse just come back a little bit yesterday as well in the shape of Pastor Roo, because Gavin had come here with quite a strong hand, a lot of single price, you know, not favourites, but horses with chances, and a few of them didn't do so well. So, look, there was good vibes there with Pastor Roo yesterday, showing a little bit of showing a little bit of class. I don't really know what to make of this race, because everywhere you look, you can find reasons not to back horses. You know, Fasal Vega, I mean, dude, he seems to have kind of fallen between two stools a little bit, because they've had Gaelic Warrior absolutely sluice up in an Arkle, and then Factor File has won the RSA. And the two British horses, Ginny's Destiny and Grey Dawning, there's a big gap in the prices, but there's not a huge gap, not a huge difference in the form between them. You know, Colonel Harry's 50-1, can't have him. Zana here and Sharjah, they're kind of OAPs. And I just, by process of elimination, and I don't disagree with John on Let's Be Clear, but I thought maybe Irocco could be one. He's trained by Oliver Greenall, who a lot of people wouldn't be familiar with, but he's a fella I always liked, because back when English amateur jockeys in particular were absolutely terrible, he was a good fella to back in an amateur race in England back in the day. He's a small enough string. He has the patronage of Jake McManus, which kind of tells you that he's a shrewd enough operator. This horse won at the festival last year as well. Yes, he's only had one run over fences, but that was at Warwick, where he can get. And Warwick, I think, is right by a river, and it's prone to waterlogging. So when they say it's soft at Warwick, it's, you know, bring your armband stuff. So I think Irocco here been quietly campaigned. A slight negative for me would be that he has drifted slightly in price, but In a race where I can find lots of excuses not to back horses, I like the chances of Irocco in this.
Okay, very good. John Duggan, bring us on to the second race.
So this is the Pertemps Handicap Hurdle at 2:10 over 3 miles, 22 runners. You have to have good jockeyship, if that's even a word, to be able to plot your way around here. There's a few interesting runners here. Cletus Poulaw is only 6 years of age. He's a similar profile to Delta Work in the Michael O'Leary colours for trainer Gordon Elliott. Won the race for the stable before Delta Work did. And Cletus Poulon now is coming here with a chance. He was second at a qualifier at Nice. He could now improve over 3 miles. He was a point-to-pointer. The other one that would be worth looking at is Wake Wheel. For Ted Walsh has been consistent. Shane O'Callaghan rides him. He's only got 10 stone 5. He's got each way claims on his win at Leopardstown over Christmas. Cuthbert Dibble and Lemilos are taking the market attraction this morning. Lemilos is trained by Dan Skelton, who were two winners of the course yesterday. Icar Allen as well, Mark Walsh on him, and he's attracting support too. Was placed in a Triumph Hurdle here a few years ago. I think this has been the plan for William Mullins. But the one I'm going to go for at a price of 17-2 is Gabby's Cross. Is carrying 10 stone 7, trained by Henry de Bramhead, who's had two winners this week. He is still rated lower over hurdles than he was over fences. He won a big handicap chase at Galway a couple of years ago, over 2.06. He's been freshened up since, finishing second at Punchestown in November, over 3 miles in a qualifying race for this. I think he's got an each way chance with Darragh O'Keefe in the soft ground. I think you need lower weights in this race anyway, and I think Gabby's Cross might be able to fill the first six places and maybe better at 70-2, 8.5-1.
Okay, very good. So Gabby's Cross from John. Tom Malone, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I like the chance of Cletus Poulon, actually. He obviously is a second behind Ballyburn, which reads very well. The Pretemps is such a weird race because it's got a series of qualifiers where you have to finish in the first six to qualify for the race. So when you're looking at these qualifiers, you're kind of keeping an eye on horses who don't want to be too far back, but at the same time, don't want to be too far forward so they don't get too high a weight. But look, Cletus Poulon actually just finished second in a handicap there at Nace, and I think he's a right chance. One of the huge prices I do like, though, is Emma Tom. He's a horse who used to be pretty decent. He's now with Alan King, who's Edwardstone. I know he fell yesterday. He ran well, so that's a positive for me. Emma Tom, slight negative his age, but he's by Goldwell. He was once rated in the 150s. He's now 137. He's about 25-33-1. He's the kind of horse who just looks like a big old gentleman who keep plodding away there in the soft going. And maybe he won't win because, again, these horses, any of them could have 10 pounds up their sleeve. But just at the prices, maybe Emma Tom could be one to play each way there with the extra places. But if there is a kind of a hidden class act, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Cletus Poulon.
Okay, very good. The next one is Ryanair Chase at 10-3. Last year's winner, Envoy Allen, is there again, John?
Yes, and Envoy Allen has been kept fresh for this since November. The yard is in form. Rachel Blackmore and Henry de Bramhead had the big winner yesterday. So Envoy Allen is now getting into double figures in terms of age. Might be the only negative for his chance. Conflated has got a squeak on his Gold Cup third last year. If he jumps better, Capadonna will like the ground. Won at the course earlier this year over a further distance. But the ground might bring his stamina into play. The informed Skelton stable has got Protector out, a horse I've never really liked, but this might be his Gold Cup day, even though it's not the Gold Cup. We're waiting to see if Banbridge will run. At the moment, he is running, and he's second favourite. If it was good ground here, Owen and Tom, this would be my pick, Banbridge, all day, as a course and distance winner who ran really well at Kempton last time and won Joseph O'Brien. I'm just worried about the ground for him. And if he does win, it will tell you that the ground is better than it's been advertised here. So therefore, Stage Star won at the festival last year. He's a good jumper. He's a good front runner. Won a handicap here earlier this season. But to be honest, it's too tricky for me. It's too messy. It's too trappy. So in these situations, the best thing to do is advise, in my view, no selection. No selection for me in the Ryanair Chase zone.
Okay, fair enough. But keep an eye if Banbridge goes well. It might inform bets throughout the day. Tom Malone, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm loving John's Kevin Pauline strategy. He's a famous football tipster from the Racing Post back in the day. He was got away with writing a column on a Saturday and get to the bottom of the page and then say no selection. So that was I like that, John. I like that. But yeah, you're kind of right, John, because, you know, this Ryanair Chase, so few of them, like, it's something that could be run at Harold's Cross. There's so many dogs in it. You know, it's just... But I do like one that isn't, though. I do like Envoy Allen. I mean, the story of this horse is great as well. You know, he was the big with that controversy with Gordon Elliott years ago. He was the big changeover to Henry de Bromhead, and then he just didn't settle into Bromhead's, and he fell here, having, you know, he fell here early on in his career, having won 11 straight for Gordon Elliott, and he's kind of come back to himself. I think he's a lovely kind of redemption story. It's great to see these horses. You know, he won a Champion Bumper. He won a Ballymore, whatever it was, earlier on in his career as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if MVLN does it again. His age is a negative, but the last 10-year-old to win this race was just like MVLN, was Alberta's Run, who was 10 years of age, winning it as well. I don't think it, like John says, I don't think this is a race to be getting absolutely stuck into. He's dead right there, but I'd love to see MVLN win. And I think there are more reasons to be with him because, like I said, the others, so many of the others have negatives. If you look down through them, Ahoy Senor, like, I mean, they thought he's Gold Cup horse, Banbridge, the grounds against him, Conflated. He's got so many letters, his name at this stage, Capodanno, you just never know who's going to turn up. And that, then you look down through the whole race and that's the way it is. The only other one, you know, you could say maybe a stage star, but the way he ran in his previous run is a massive negative. Also by Fame and Glory, they tend to prefer better going. But Harry Cobden was very positive this horse's chances beforehand. But again, I'd say the ground is slightly against him. So again, one of those things where you just keep drawing lines through horses and you just end up left with MVLN.
Okay, so if you're potentially having a few good enough one to avoid MVLN to win from Tom Malone there, 3:30, Stayers Hurdle. John Duggan, I mean, for people who like Florian Porter, this is a legendary race. Florian Porter going again in this, but I presume he's not in your tips, or is he?
Don't go down to Harrow's Cross, by the way, because it no longer exists. So if you go down looking for the dog racing at Harrow's Cross, and you go, what are you talking about? Well, it was on the Cheltenham show.
Of course, we should head to Shelburne Park. We should head to Shelburne Park.
only messing. Tiupu is a worthy favourite here. Look, he was third in the Massey renewal of the race last year. He's been kept fresh since December. Jack Kennedy rides him. The market says he's rock solid. Perhaps he's the obvious one. Like, this is a really strong market at the moment for Tiupu. 6-4, heavy money for him, which means that Sir Gerhard, Cranbrough are drifting out. Noble Yates drifting a bit. Sarah de Burleigh, last year's winner, is coming in to about 8-1. But like, if you're back in Sarre de Burleigh and Paisley Park, if they're winning this at 12 years of age, and if Dashiell Drach is winning as 11-year-old, the game's gone. We all might as well just, you know, leave here this afternoon before the Gold Cup and just gone. Florian Porter is a great story, but I just think he had his day. You never know. There's money for at a big price for Asterion for Lange for Willie Mullins. The one I'm going to go for, my selection, Tom and Owen, is Noble Yates, each way against the favourites. He's 13-2. He's a Grand National winner at Aintree. He's fourth in the Gold Cup last year. I think that was probably a better class race than this. Won the Cleve Hurdle here over course and distance in January. Staying on strongly. He's got a great jockey in Harry Cobden. He's wearing cheek pieces today to make him concentrate a bit more. He's guaranteed to stay the trip. So I think maybe Tiupu will win, but I think Noble Yates might give him a run for his money. To get in the first four, it's an each way bet to nothing. I think he's got an excellent chance of being placed. He's my tip in the Stairs Hurdle, and he's my nap today.
Okay, right. Nice one, John. I forgot to ask you that on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning, so good to get that. Tom Malone, what are you thinking?
Yeah, again, when John says he looked through these, there's so many basket cases in here as well, and you've got three previous winners in it. But like Paisley Park, I think this will be his last race. So he's going to retire after it. And as John said, it'd be quite an indictment on the race if he was to win, really, at 12 years of age, even though he's a lovely old servant and he does keep plugging away this year. I really like Tiahupo. Kind of one of the negatives for me was that why was he such a big price earlier on in the week? The price is really hard, and even though Gordon Elliott has not a winner this week, I wouldn't read too much into that. His horse has been running well. Like, he's just been running into really good horses. You know, Irish Point was second in the Champion Hurdle. He did 2-3 in the Champion Bumper. He's had loads of seconds and thirds. So it's not like Nicky Henderson where they're pulling up and falling out the back of the telly. It's not like that at all. Just Gordon Elliott's just had a little bit of bad luck and run into some really good horses. And I'd say himself, he probably thought that his better chances were later in the week, particularly today, with, and one of them is Tiahupo here. I think Tiahupo was absolutely rock solid. But John's right as well. If you want an each way bet to nothing, Noble Yates is your man. Emmett Mullins, he's a brilliant, brilliant trainer. He's already had a winner this week as well. Noble Yates, fourth in the Gold Cup last year. You know he stays. He's won a Grand National. You know, his ultimate goal is to go back and win at Aintree in a couple of weeks' time. And you just think, skipping around in a Stayers Hurdle, that's an ideal prep for him. And I can definitely see Noble Yates being on the premises already each way. But like Tiahupo, 7 years of age, been freshened up since winning at Fairy House, he should win.
Okay, very good. The 4:10 then, John, looks like it's hard to pick a winner here.
This can be a graveyard. You've had 66-1 winners this before the plate. Handicap Chase, 2.5 miles. Theatre Man is well weighted on a run behind Ginny's Destiny this season. Prebley is also progressive, but he can make a mistake. Arctic Brazil for Rachel Blackmore, lightly raced, the stable's in form. San Felician was pulled up at the festival 2 years ago. In Excelsis Deo was Barry Garrity's tip on the William Hill Cheltenham preview last weekend. He's now going up in trip for Harry Fry in the colours of JB McManus. There's money for Harry Redknapp's horse, Shake Him Up Harry. So for anybody who likes their football, you might want to have a look at him. And I'm going to go for James de Burleigh. He's now 18-1, the Fairy Tale of New York price. He's a graded horse and a handicap. He jumps well. He's off 12 stone. He can't front run. He could have won the chase that Meeting of the Waters won at Leopardstown at Christmas, but he just didn't stay. I think back in trip, I think he's a good each-way chance in this at a big price, James de Burleigh. Sometimes William Mullins can throw these graded horses in the handicaps and win them. Remember Wicklow Brave winning at Cheltenham, head and chest a couple of years ago. We've had horses as well at Punchestown that Willie can put in and sometimes in top weight, and they just have a better class than others. So James de Burleigh, I think, at a big price each way to finish in the first five, might give you a run for your money. Otherwise, you're trying to look, maybe Tom might give you a direction in terms of horses with lower weights that might be ahead of the handicapper.
Go for it, Tom.
Yeah, the two horses I like in this, John mentioned both of them, San Felician for Gordon Elliott. I actually think Gordon Elliott's going to have a barnstorming finish to the day today. But yeah, San Felician, like, he was punted off the boards last year in the Coral Cup, and then he kind of ran no race and was pulled up. He's had a couple of quiet enough spins over fences this year, and then a nice win last time out, beating Spanish Harlan there and Amy Deji. He's gotten a mark of 1.46. He's one of those horses where you wouldn't know where his mark is. So he's certainly one that looks like he could be really, really progressive. I know he's been difficult to train. I know he's not been straightforward. So, you know, you have that. But you get that factored into the price at 8-1 San Felician. And as John mentioned as well, Shake Him Up Harry, strictly on form and on, you know, numbers, he's only been up £4 for a win here at Cheltenham last time out. And another positive as well is the form of Ben Pauling. Again, I don't think he'd be the biggest known British trainer, but his horses have been turning up, and he had a placed effort earlier on in the week. He wouldn't have the biggest amount of runners, but yeah, Shake Him Up Harry. Good to see Harry Redknapp continuing to support horse racing. And yeah, I'm sure himself and Sandra will be cheering this one home all the way from those ads from a couple of years ago.
Is it weird to name your horse after yourself?
Yeah, it is a bit, isn't it?
The Kerry Great for you, Owen, is it? That's
oh, yeah.
Shit, come on, Barry. Even the way he took out the H as well.
Yeah.
You know, just to make it properly phonetic.
I think it was called Wheeler Dealer in the stable, and Harry Redknapp was like, I got to change the name on that one. That's
Yeah.
10 to 5 is the grade 2 Ryanair Mares Novices Hurdle. Are you looking at anyone here, John?
Well, this is a match between Brighter Days Ahead, who's now odds on, and Jay DeGrugi, who's just under 2-1 because Dysart Enos has been taken out of the race. Bird Year Bust is the third favourite for Rachel Blackmore. The danger in this kind of race is you think, oh, Brighter Days Ahead, and they really speak highly of him in the County Meath stable of Gordon Elliott. And Jack Kennedy and Gordon Elliott have been talking about this horse in glowing terms. She's won 5 in a row. But Jay DeGrugi is also unbeaten in the William Mullins yard. He's a good jumper. Who knows? And the danger is taking a view on one of these and then the other one wins or none of them win. So I think it's a dangerous race to get involved in. And I'm having no selection in this, but I'm just fascinated to see how Brighter Days Ahead does run, because they've been talking in very, very positive terms. But the horse is a big horse for the future.
Are you brave enough to go in this one, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I had Brighter Days Ahead down as one of my naps of the festival, to be perfectly honest. So yeah, I'm very strong on Brighter Days Ahead. Just the way things have gone this week, though, when you look at sort of 5-6, 15-8, or, you know, shade of odds on and almost 2-1 about Jay DeGrugi. I mean, on the prices, you'd be very tempted to have a bet in Jay DeGrugi, but like, I've kind of put my chips down with Brighter Days Ahead a fair way out at this stage. So I feel honor bound to stick with Brighter Days Ahead. But look, the thing as well about Brighter Days Ahead, she's the most fantastic pedigree. Related to Caldwell Potter and the Mighty Potter, of course, all those horses who were involved in that Gordon Elliott dispersal sale earlier on in the year. She's Edward Mare called Matney, who's French Dynamite as well. well. And I think she's five foals and all five of them have black type, which basically means they've performed in pattern company, which is just absolutely unheard of. So I think Brighter Days Ahead can keep the family tradition going. And yeah, Jade DeGruzzi, the obvious danger. Look, just play, I think these two are a million miles clear of the rest anyway. So just do something like play a forecast, Brighter Days Ahead and Jade DeGruzzi. But I'd be fairly surprised if anything's better than these two, because, you know, the vibes coming out of Gordon Elliott's yard about Brighter Days Ahead, they just think the world and the rest of this mare. And hopefully she does the business here.
The last race of the day is, I presume, the longest name of a race in this year's festival, the Fulk Wallowin Kim Muir Challenge Cup Amateur Jockeys Handicap Chase. John Duggan, what's sticking your fancy here?
This is 3 miles, 2 furlongs for amateur riders, 24 runners. So once again, you need a jockey who knows what they're doing here. And some of them are better than others in the amateur level. Derek O'Connor is one of the best of them. He rides the favourite, I Know the Way You're Thinking, who Gavin Cromwell mentioned at our live night, our William Hill live night, a while back in Dublin. If he gets the trip, he's got a big chance. He's a lot of graded form. And yeah, I Know the Way You're Thinking is definitely one that's a contender, but he's quite short in the betting, about 3-1. We have Angel's Dawn, who won the race last year. Wacker Clan won here back in October. John Gleeson rides him. There's money for Paul Nolan's Daily Present. That's coming into less than 10-1 now. Am I Right is a Henry DeBram head-trained horse. There's money for at the bottom of the field for Sepage, for Vanessa Williams. Thacker Delaine, I like that horse, but I just think he needs better ground. He's been placed before. And Harry Swan, we'd love to see him, Charlie Sun, ride a winner at Cheltenham. Cool Survivor is his mount, but he's drifting in the betting. The one I like, guys, is Where It All Began. He got his act together when winning a Punchestown very impressively in February. He really stayed on strongly over 3 miles 3. So he knows he gets the trip here. If he can get into a rhythm under Wexford amateur Barry O'Neill, he could be thereabouts. Barry O'Neill has been so unlucky at the festival. He's been chinned a couple of times in Stumptown and wing leader in the last few years. And also the Paul Nolan horse, I can't really remember, the Discorama. So I'd like to see him win a race at Cheltenham here, and hopefully Where It All Began will begin his Cheltenham odyssey for him.
Okay, Tom Malone.
Yeah, I agree with plenty of what John said there. Actually, in this race last year, I think Ireland had the first 7 home in this race last year. So it's one of those ones where you think, oh, you know, the Kim Muir, the English trained horses do well here, and then they just end up not. And anyway, as an aside, one horse who did run well last year was one for Paul Nolan. So I'd say he plotted Daily Present at this on the back of how his horse ran last year. Ran in some hot enough kind of beginner's chases behind the likes of Grangeclear West and Gaelic Warrior, and got his handicap mark and then won at Down Royal last time out. That gets him in, snuck him in here off a mark of 129, claims £5 off his back as well. So as you mentioned earlier on the show, a lightweight is a good thing around Cheltenham on a day like today, particularly over 3 miles and 2 in going, especially at the end of the day as well, when they'll be ploughing through ground that's already been galloped through. So not surprised to see good chunk of support for Daily Present. Maybe the price is gone, but I'd be happy to stick with them each way.
We'll get your charity bet in just a minute, John. But Tom, generally speaking, then, is there an app of the day? Is there certain races that you are targeting, just to sum up then?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tia Hoopoe is probably, I think Tia Hoopoe and Brighter Days Ahead are two of my best bets of the day. I can see, obviously, look, there's a lot of respect for Willie Mullins, Jade DeGruzzi, filly against Brighter Days Ahead. Again, if you have an insurance against that, maybe just stick them in a forecast or something like that. But I think Tia Hoopoe and Brighter Days Ahead, I mean, she's well named because it's going to give, just going to brighten Gordon Elliott's week after what's been a very frustrating couple of days for him. Like I said, the horse is running well and finished second. It's nearly, I don't know if it's better or worse than being in a Nicky Henderson situation where at least you know they're bad and getting beaten. His are all well and just, yeah, you know, getting chinned by better horses.
John Duggan, what are your charity bets for today?
I was told by a boss years ago when I was tipping on Ian Dempsey's show, pick some favourites, will you? Pick some favourites. And Tom has kind of like give me pretty clear indication of, yeah, I mean, maybe quite clear thinking, which sometimes I don't have around here because I'm always looking for value. But the charity bet is, the nap is Noble Yates. I've got 200 with William Hill. Noble Yates, we're going to go for him at 13-2 for 30 each way. That is the Stairs Hurdle at 3:30. Then we have in the 1:30, Let's Be Clear About It, 20-1 for 15 each way. Gabby's Cross is 17-2 in the 2:10 for 15 each way. We also have James de Burley 14-1, probably be bigger than that now, 18-1 for 15 each way. And then Where It All Began for 20 each way at 15-2. So the five I'm picking, Where It All Began, James de Burley, Gabby's Cross, Let's Be Clear About It, and the each way nap is Noble Yates. So it's an each way kind of approach for me. And Tom has gone for the juggler. He's going for
the two short ones.
And I don't know what he's thinking. And he's kind of probably cleared it. He's probably made it clear, more clear in my mind, that they'll probably win those races.
So sorry, it's Let's Be Clear About It, Gabby's Cross, Noble Yates, James de Burley. And what was the fifth one, John?
Where It All Began in the last race.
Where It All Began. And you're putting 15 each way on that.
I'm putting 20 each way on that. So 15 each way on three of them. James de Burley, Let's Be Clear About It, and Gabby's Cross. 20 each way on Where It All Began, and 30 each way on Noble Yates.
Lads, a pleasure. I, for some reason, I don't know, it can't be due to a lack of racing knowledge, I'm being replaced in the hot seat tomorrow by somebody else. So as somebody who knows a lot less about racing than me will obviously be here tomorrow to,
what?
To pick
That's
your
a
brain.
Disgrace.
A disgrace, Tom Malone. I totally agree. Enjoy your day. Great to see you, Tom. John, we'll see you back here in Dublin very shortly. And hopefully good things are coming today.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Owen. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's your Cheltenham show.
Horse racing on Off The Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. They've designed must-have travel styles for when you need to jet. The lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit makes these shoes some of the most packable styles ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Take the Superlight Tree Runner on your next adventure. Its cushy, lightweight foam midsole supports every step, and the extra outsole traction gives you the grip to just go for it. The eucalyptus fiber upper adds next-level breathability to keep you going all day. Plus, the Superlight Tree Runner is comfortable and ready to go right out of the box. So, what can you do in a Superlight shoe? What can't you do is the better question. And because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's allbirds.com, code SUPER24.